Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
Black Door, is that you, brother?
Yeah, man, I'm here. Black Door here, baby.
Puma, where are you?
He's probably on the phone with his pop trying to change his picks.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, man, he's probably trying to change his picks. Yeah, you know what, since
can
I can hear
me?
You hear me, man.
We
got
you
now, man.
Over there working, yep. Trying to change your picks.
Okay. Yeah. I ain't trying to change it. I heard you say that. I'm just trying to change the picks. This board is really weirding out. They said they're having technical difficulties at Blog Talk, so I don't know how long we're going to be able to do this. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we got you,
let's
man.
Go. We still rolling.
Come on, man.
All
we
right.
got to find
right.
a way.
Don't stop popping, baby.
Stop playing around.
All right. Let's get it popping. All right. Let's get it popping. This week's order in the NFL picks goes like this. It's Pop, it's me, Puma, and then Black Thor, and then Ice Water goes last. Last week, Black Thor won at an 87 record, followed by Pop and Ice, who tied at a 7-8 record, and I came in last with a 6-9 record. I'm still leading overall with 39 wins, 23 losses. Black Thor right behind me, 37 and 25, tail grabbing me. And Ice and Papa tied with a 35 and 27 record. And so we're going to start off the picks. And since Pop is going first, I've got all his picks. The first pick that we have is Los Angeles, the Rams versus Seattle. And Pop went with the Seattle Seahawks. I also went with the Seattle Seahawks at home. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I'm picking Seattle, man. I don't trust the Rams currently, man. I'm taking the Hawks.
All right. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, I thought about the Rams. I know they beat and defeated Seattle quite some times, and I'm not going to get caught on that Washington Redskins train no more. I'm going with Seattle.
Seattle across the board. Next game on tap is Arizona. They're coming to Texas to meet the Texans at home. Pop is going with the home team. With Houston, I'm also going with the home team. Who you got, Black?
Whoa. You sure you corrected me? I got Arizona playing Cincinnati, man. You sure you right on that one?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's right. Sorry about that.
Come on, we try.
Arizona playing
picks,
Cincinnati.
All right, so who you pop
that?
Who you pop
a lot of that? I missed that. I didn't
ask
Pop that, so I'm going to have to pick four.
You have to play around your picks.
I'll get it picked later on that game. It's Arizona versus Cincinnati, and I have to get Pop's pick later. I'm going to go with Arizona on this one. I'm going to go with Arizona. I'm not really don't feel confident with the Bengals. Black?
Yeah, I want to choose the Bengals. Arizona, they got beat up pretty bad last week. But, yeah, this is a throwaway game right here, man. Cincinnati hasn't proven anything to me. Their quarterback is playing horrible. They got another receiver that went down. Green is not ready to play. But you know what? They're home. I don't think Arizona's going to travel. I'm going to take Cincinnati at home. I think they'll do this. I'm going to take Cincinnati.
You going to take Cincinnati?
Yes, sir. All right,
so you got?
Man, I was hoping he took Arizona. Damn. Anyway, I know you're in love with Kyle Murray. You got a bromance thing going on there, Puma. But it's a long way to come to Cincinnati. And I think Mixon's due. He's overdue. So I think they're going to find a way in Cincinnati to get it done. Cincinnati.
All right. Next game on tap is Atlanta at Houston. I'm gonna give Pop Houston because I'm gonna give him Houston. Well, no, I'll ask him for both of them, but I'm gonna take Houston on this one. The whole team. Who you got, Black?
Wow, I don't trust Houston, man. I just don't trust Atlanta's defense either. But I think this is a game here that homeboy is gonna go off from Alabama. The two Alabama receivers go off. I'm gonna take the Falcons with this one, man. I watched the Texans last a few weeks, man. They're unimpressive. If they can get to the quarterback, which I think they might be able to do, they well has. The Houston's front line is horrible, so I'm gonna take the Falcons with this one.
Okay. All right, so you got?
Oh my goodness, this is horrible because Matt Ryan is due to. He's passing up his top receivers for Muhammad Sanu Sr. Come on, man. I'm going with Houston. I don't know how, or why, but. Can't do it anymore. I'm going with Houston.
All right. Next game on tap is Tampa Bay versus New Orleans. Came off that big win against the Cowboys on Sunday night. Pop is picking New Orleans. I'm going with New Orleans. Who you got, Black?
Tampa Bay is scoring football, man. Even though New Orleans quarterbacks played well last week, but Mike Evans is balling, bro. And they got another receiver. I think he got hurt, if I'm not mistaken, Tampa Bay. I'm taking Tampa Bay with this one, man. I don't think the Buccaneers, they showed me something last week. I still don't trust Teddy as the quarterback for the Saints. I just don't trust him yet. So I'm going to take the Buccaneers.
Okay. All right, so you got?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know, I got a big old smile over here.
I know you do. I guess you didn't learn last week against Dallas that it's Ohio State West over there in that secondary. Famous what time it is. So I'm going with New Orleans because if Teddy Bridgewater can pass 160 yards and win a game, I'm going with that defense. I'm going to New Orleans. Jameis is subject to self-destruct at any moment. New Orleans.
All right. This is a game that was tough for me to pick because the young man is playing really, really well. Minnesota versus the New York Giants. But Kirk Cousins caught me because when I should have picked the bad Kirk, good Kirk, he turned into the bad Kirk. So I thought, you know, he can't do this to me 2 weeks in a row. So he apologized, Black, for his performance. So Papa's going with Minnesota against the Giants. I'm going to pick Minnesota against the Giants. Maybe Minnesota's defense will put some wrinkles into that defense that'll confuse the young man. Who you got, man?
Yeah, I've never heard a quarterback play politician more than Kirk Cousins did this week, man. I mean, I nice gesture, but you got to do it on the field, bro. You got to, and it's just, they're seeing now what they have in him. It took 1 year for him to see that they just don't have it. And I love feeling kind of calling out. I think the Vikes defense is going to be too much for the Giants. I just think Giants offense is horrible. So if there's a week that Kirk can look good, this will be the week. So I'm taking the Vikings.
All right. Ice, what you got?
I'm feeling good about the Giants since they beat me last week. I'm feeling real good about them. Not. Anyway, I'm rolling with the good cut, Kirk cut. And I think Dalvin Cook left, Dalvin Cook right, Dalvin Cook up the middle. Minnesota.
Yeah, that's going to be an ugly game. Now, I'm not getting up to watch this game. I'll find out what happens in the morning. But Chicago versus Oakland. Mac is coming back. He gets him overseas. So, Papa's going with Chicago. If Trubisky is playing this game, I would pick Oakland. But Trubisky is not playing this game. I'm picking Chicago. And Mac is going to have a field day. Just all up his foot, all up Gruden's ass. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I think like you said, the change of quarterbacks here, if they kind of – I think this coach wants to open that offense up a little bit, and if he does it this weekend, they would definitely take this one. So I'm taking the Bears.
All right, so you got?
The fact, Puma, that you selected Chicago makes me think about my pick. Because you're a team in Chicago. You are a big team.
You know, I hate when you go last. I hate when you go last.
I know you.
I really do. When you and Black go last, I hate it. I hate it.
Because you are a big team in Chicago. You are. You really are. And Oakland played pretty good last week. So, yeah. Man. I don't care. I don't care about you. I'm down.
All right, Bears across the board. Jacksonville versus Carolina. Now, Pop has some hope for Carolina. He picked Carolina this week, the home team. I'm going with Carolina with the young quarterback. Black, who you got?
Wow, I want to roll with Jacksonville, but I think Carolina at home is going to be a good one. If this game was in Jacksonville, I'll definitely take Jacksonville. Jacksonville has himself a quarterback, man. This guy's a gamer. He took hits. First two periods. Toward the end of the second period, he started playing and brought that team back, man. He has an arm. He puts the ball where it needs to be, but I think the defense at home for the Panthers is going to be too much. I'll take care of Ryan at home.
All right. All right, what we got?
I want to choose Jacksonville because Fournette showed up last week. They played hard, but too much McCaffrey. And Ramsey's not playing, so who knows what's going on. It's hard to go against them. Only thing Carolina got needs to do, the quarterback needs to do, is start looking at the other weapons a little bit more. But still, I think they'll win at home. Carolina.
All right. Next game on tap is New England versus Washington. Pop is going with New England. I'm also going with New England. This might be John Gruden's last game coaching Washington football team. Black, who you got?
Without any, if they even talk about it, New England all the way, man.
Somebody said that they have like a scrimmage. So in the first half, Tom Brady's going to play for New England. The second half, he's going to go over to Washington and play against them. See if he can resurrect that team. But they can only be, they're only just going to be flag football second half. Anyway, I'm going with New England.
Maybe they had Jerome Bettis with the flag and the, dragging the guy into the end zone. I don't know if you saw that commercial.
I got your flag.
This one's going to be ugly. Next game, this is going to be a tough game. This is a tough game. But I had to come down to which team I think was playing the best defense. Buffalo versus Tennessee. I was surprised Pop picked the road dog. He picked Buffalo. I wasn't expecting that, but I picked Buffalo. Who you got, Black?
I'm taking Tennessee with this one, man. I think Buffalo quarterback, I'm not sure if he's going to play. You're right, it's going to be a tight, gritty, close game, but I think Tennessee at home is going to find a way to get this done, especially if this quarterback can get in the end zone a couple more times. So Tennessee, the Titans.
All right. Who you got, Ice?
Hard to go on the road, and the problem with the Buffalo, their quarterback does play, he's not throwing the ball to John Brown, who's a deep threat. They need that. So Tennessee will muck it up and make it ugly, and I'm going to go with Tennessee.
All right. Next game is Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. Pop is going with Baltimore. Even though Pittsburgh played a decent game Monday night, I'm still not convinced that they can beat Baltimore. So I'm going with Baltimore also. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I think Baltimore bounced back this week. I don't know what happened to last week. They were sleepwalking through that game. But I think they're going to find a way to pound Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is not great against the run. They're going to turn the running back loose, and then, you know, the quarterback will find a way to kind of score some. So I'm taking on the Ravens with this one.
Okay. All right, so you got?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Baltimore, too, simply because Pittsburgh is having trouble scoring points. I mean, they beat the Bengals the way that they did, but still not using their best weapons. Smith-Schuster's not touching that rock, and he and the quarterback are not on the same page. It doesn't seem like they need that chemistry, which means they're going to struggle. And Baltimore is wide open. I think they'll be back on track this week. So I'm selecting the Ravens to win.
All right. Next game on tap is the New York Jets versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Pop is going with the home team, the Philadelphia Eagles. I heard that the Darnold has been practicing for the first time, I guess, in 2 or 3 weeks, and they probably kept him away from college campuses. From the co-eds, from the getting that mono. I'm going with Philly, too. The Jets are just falling apart, and I got to go with Philly. Philly seems like they are back on track and playing the way they should be playing in that Eastern Division. Black, what you got?
Yeah, I think Philly realized that they can make some headway this week if they take care of the Jets and the Cowboys lose. So, I think they'll be motivated to get this game over quickly. I'm going to take the Eagles.
Okay. Ice?
Yeah, Philadelphia finally realized they have a running back. Chicago should have done that, too. They didn't. I'm going with the Eagles.
Yeah. All right. Next game on tap is Denver Broncos, what happened to them? Against the Los Angeles Chargers. Pop is going with the Chargers. I'm also going with the Chargers. Black, who you got?
Yeah, Denver's 0-4. But towards the end of the game, Flacco played pretty good, but I can't blame him for the total loss. But, if I'm not mistaken, I think is Chubb's out? I think Chubb's, the other defensive lineman, is going to be out. So that's going to hurt the defense drastically. Chargers are off and on, but they'll be on this weekend, I assume. And I'll take the Chargers with this one.
All right, so you got.
Yeah, Denver has been struggling. Lindsey has been struggling. They've been using the backup quarter running back as well, try to split carries. I think the Chargers are going to move forward. Gordon should be back, come back, and he's going should be ready to play. But regardless, they're moving forward. So Chargers at home.
All right. Next game on tap is Green Bay going to play Dallas. Pop is going with Dallas. I'm going to take Green Bay on this one. Black, who you got?
I am glad you did. Very glad you did. I think I thought about Green Bay, but Green Bay to me, for some reason, they won't stay with the running game, and they just won't. They just keep abandoning the running game and keep putting the ball in Rodgers' hand. That front four, front seven of the Cowboys are going to get after Rodgers, man. They're going to get after him, and I'm not sure if Adams is going to play. It's not going to be easy, so I'm taking the Cowboys with this.
All right, so you got?
Let's call it the resurrection of Randall Cobb. He's going to show them why they should have kept him. He's not going to drop any passes this week. He's going to look real good, and Zeke is going to run crazy. So, Green Bay, I think Black Thor hit it right on the head that they don't really have any receivers for Aaron Rodgers to throw to, and that's not going to be good enough against Dallas, particularly when they got embarrassed last week. Dallas at home.
All right. Next game on top is Indianapolis versus Kansas City. Me and Pop both picked Kansas City. Who you got, Black?
Kansas City just finds a way to win, man. They just find a way to win. They'll do it this weekend, too. It might be big. It might be close. But at home, yeah, they're going to pull it out, Kansas City.
All right. Who you got, Ice?
Mahomes threw zero touchdowns last week. He probably threw eight this week. Kansas City.
And the last game on tap is Cleveland versus San Francisco. Pop is going with Cleveland. I'm going with San Francisco. They are picking, there are two polls that they're picking San Francisco to make it to the Super Bowl. They are undefeated right now. Black, who you got?
Wow. This was good, man. I just don't trust Cleveland to have it back-to-back. I think because it was playing the Ravens, they got to be more for that game because it was in division, in their division. But San Fran is they're playing some good football. I'm not sure about their quarterback. But outside of that, man, they're playing some real tough-nosed, hard-nosed football. I'm going to take them on Monday night. I won't be surprised if Cleveland wins this, though, but I'm going to take San Fran for this.
All right. Ice, last pick.
There's no way in hell you're going to tell me San Francisco is going to be 5-0. I ain't buying the hype. I'm not buying Cleveland either, but San Francisco 5-0? What is this league coming
Sherman
to?
Versus Odell.
Yeah, should be interesting.
Talk about getting choked out.
Yeah, no doubt. Cleveland, I'm taking Cleveland on the road.
All right. Folks, those are our picks. We'll post them up on Twitter and on our Facebook page. I got to get the guys to post them up because I've been banned off Facebook once again. But we'll take a break, come back, and talk some more sports right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
Sexual chocolate.
I'm not turning the mics off. So if I catch Black snacking on wings, we just going to be on a record. I don't want to turn the mics off. You might not get back on.
The
sexual chocolate.
Got
man from Facebook. Say, I don't want to be a freak, but I can't help myself.
You know what? I once was a man from the
room
who was sleeping in
this. I was snowing one very hot summer's day. When I thought I'd lay myself down to rest in a big field of tall grass. I lay there in the sun and felt it caressing my face as I fell asleep.
So, Black, I'm sitting here watching the Tampa Bay Devil Rays against Oakland A's. I don't want Tampa Bay Devil Rays to win because they give the Yankees fit. They really do give the Yankees fit. And I'm really, really rooting for Oakland. Give me your Major League Baseball report. That was a hell of a game last night. I don't know how the Washington Nationals pulled that out. I thought Milwaukee had that game. and it was over. And I was texting my pops, like, I don't think Washington has it this year. But your boy in Philly got to be kind of kicking himself for leaving Washington and going to the Phillies, and he's sitting at home watching them. Baseball report, sir.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Yeah, you could say that, but Washington got by. They did a little tough, so they made it. And they have advanced, and as they defeated the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday, 4-3, had good old Steven Strasburg, one of the best in the land, pitching yesterday, and they won by one run. So congratulations to them. You know, I've been dogging them all year. I'm going to get that to them. So that's what that is. But things are starting to heat up. As you mentioned, Puma, we are right in the midst of watching Tampa Bay versus Oakland on the American League side. And Tampa Bay right now is leading Oakland 4-0 in the third. So it's been quite interesting from that standpoint. Black Thor can really start to get his wings ready. It's about to get cold again. Everybody's going to be happy and turning towards basketball as well. But just real quick of a rundown, the Yankees ended up winning the East as the major, as the representative in that division. Tampa Bay, of course, we just mentioned, was a wild card participant now. Minnesota actually won the Central, so they're waiting to see who they will play next. Moving over into the West, Houston is the division leader there in the American League. And Oakland, as we mentioned, who are playing tonight, is there as well as a wild card participant. Moving to the National League, the Atlanta Braves won the East. Washington played last night. They are a wild card participant in the Central. St. Louis won that division. Milwaukee's played and lost, but they were a participant, wild card participant from the Central. And over in the West, the Dodgers, with the best record, actually, in the National League, 106 games are waiting as well. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how that plays out. So the way that it goes is it will be in the American League. Houston was waiting the winner of the wild card tonight. And that means the Yankees and Minnesota will play. And then in the National League, the way that it goes, the Dodgers are waiting the wild card participant. And then we're going to have Atlanta. So it'll be Washington versus the Dodgers, which will be interesting. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have Atlanta play St.
Yeah.
Louis. Marquee plays right there. I'm telling you, I'm excited. I want to see what I think the Yankees versus Minnesota is going to be tough. I do, because Minnesota's been playing real good ball. And we'll see what happens with Houston. I'm excited about this tie because this is where it really counts. And it's been a good season so far. And I think you're going to have a heck of a race coming down the line because Washington is really hungry. They're playing real hard. We'll see if they can hold up their end of the bargain. And then last but not least, is it finally the year of the Dodgers? Finally the year of the Dodgers. We'll find out very soon.
I don't know, because that might be a tough series with the Nationals. That might be a real tough one. They're coming in with that momentum. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. There was a story that I saw recently that they said, and I sent you this story about the Major League Baseball reporting that 800 people since 2012 have been injured by a foul ball. And I was like, whoa, you hear about them every now and then in baseball, especially this year, and they started to put the net behind home plate. But were you aware of this, and will this be kind of like the catalyst of all major league teams having that net, behind home plate and across the field?
I think that it will be something that they're going to look into in the offseason simply because of the factor that's a lot of people to be hurt. Minor league clubs have already got to jump on it. We have a baseball park here in Columbus, Ohio, AAA affiliate for the Cleveland Indians, and they have the nets all over the place. So I think it's something that doesn't cost a lot of money. You should put it up just to be safe. And you don't want people to get hurt because when those foul balls come out real hard, and most times people aren't paying attention It can be very detrimental,
right.
Dangerous, very dangerous. So instead of watching out, you have to watch out for the people because sometimes they're not paying attention. So this is going to be very scary. So I think they need to go ahead and do that and just put up some nets, more nets.
Yeah, because I know I go to some local parks here where they're playing softball and even t-ball and, you know, when the kids are playing. I don't like sitting in the bleachers. I always stand behind the cage. I don't know if you even watched this, Black, but I don't know if you even saw the story. What are your thoughts about this story? About 800 fans since they've been doing a 7-year study, and over 800 fans have been injured by baseball.
Yeah, that's like an uncovered story, man. You could look at the number 800. You'd have to believe that a lot of those aren't being reported. It's happening in a lot of different places, and that, guess if it's not at a game that's being televised, you may never know about. But that's a lot, man. It takes 800 to think about putting a net up. That should have been done at 100, man. That has to be tackled and dealt with because those balls come flying from the plate. And like you two said, if they're not paying attention, if you're not really focusing on what happened, even then, you may not be able to move quick enough. So, yeah,
no.
That's not even something to think about, consider, and let's get it done. It's time to get it. I know they probably want to take away from the fan experience of having a net there. But if you care anything about your fans and the safety of your fans, you have to put that up.
Yeah, because people are – usually there's a lot of drinking happening during baseball games. And folks, you know, drinking beer, you're not really paying attention. And, you know, you only pay attention when you hear the crack of the bat, the ball, and you kind of look up. And then at that particular point, it might be too late. The ball might be just sailing right towards your forehead. So, yeah, I think this is way overdue, and hopefully it's the catalyst. Black, I'm going to have you put in your WNBA report so you can get some sleep, sir.
I can't imagine people at baseball games not paying attention, though. That just doesn't sound right. But anyway, the WNBA report for October 2nd, the Suns and the Mystics have basically made themselves to the finals.
He just uppercut
you,
Ice. He just uppercut
no,
you.
I'm
he just uppercut you with an insult.
Well, that, yeah, well,
he
then
just
that's
uppercut
fine.
You
with know
an insult.
I don't want to disturb this report, but we know it's more people watching baseball than WNBA. But anyway,
you
I digress.
That right. You got that right. You definitely got that right. You got that right. That is very true. It's sad to look at these games when they're in the finals now and there's really nobody there. I know in Connecticut they're trying to push the game that's coming Sunday, but it's sad, man. It's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, I love watching them play, and these ladies are playing very aggressive. It's going to be interesting to see if this league comes back next year. I just don't see how. I know they got a TV contract, but I just don't see it. I don't get it. But the Suns and the Mystics, yeah, they're 1-1 apiece in the column of wins in the best of five. But the big news now, the big news that happened last night when the two were playing, the two-time MVP Ella Belladonna went down with back spasms. I watched her a little bit in the first quarter before she left. You could tell she wasn't right. She just, her shot was way off the way she was moving, a little gimpy. And it seems like that she always, for some reason, an injury always kind of derails her at certain times throughout the season and kind of hurts her and her team. So it's sad she can't come back. The next game is Sunday. And it's going to be really interesting to see if she'll be playing this game. If she does play, how well she does play. And if she's not playing, you'd have to think that that is a big, big, bonus for the Connecticut Sun, a huge bonus. So we'll look out on Sunday to see if she's back on the floor, how well she's doing. But 1-1, I mean, these two teams are battling. They're playing very aggressive. I like the fact that for a good portion of the game, the refs are letting them play, and the players can understand that. I mean, stop crying about fouls. If you notice that they're letting you play, just go on and do your thing. But these ladies are playing very hard, hitting ice outside jumps. They're doing some backdoors, some nice moves. So if you get a chance, you may want to check out the game on Sunday. I believe it's at 6 p.m. on ABC. I'm sorry, 3 p.m. on ABC, and it should be here in Connecticut. Congratulations goes out to the legendary Lisa Leslie. Believe it or not, she's going to become the first woman to be honored with a statue outside the Staples Center in California. And you may not think
wow. That's
a big deal, but when you think about it, that is something huge, man. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Shaq is out there, maybe a few others, but Lisa Leslie will be getting a statue soon coming to Staples Center. That's our report for this week. Gentlemen, if you get a chance, if you get steal some time away from football on Sunday, especially if your picks ain't going well, take a peek at the game.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough, bro. That's, I mean, God,
yeah, no,
that's gonna be tough. To schedule that game.
Who would put that game on Sunday at 3 o'clock? Who
yeah.
in the right mind would schedule that?
I think they like I said last week, man. I think they're sabotaging this league, bro. I really do. You know, nobody's gonna be watching it, and I appreciate what those ladies do, and I have the utmost respect. But you know, Sunday during the fall is NFL Sunday. That's it. That's all people are interested in. Wow.
You know it's gonna
yeah.
get worse now, because Black Thor. I think I heard Della Dye's not playing. She done for the year, bro.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's had a hell of a season too. Yeah, it's sad because Washington played well without him, but I don't see them basically winning two more games, and I just don't see it. It's going to be tough. It's real tough.
Why not put it on Friday?
Right there.
Why not put it on Friday?
Friday would have been a good move. How about early Friday, even before baseball and stuff gets
yep.
started? You move, yeah, make it early on Friday where you have the audience to yourself. But, I would hate to think they're sabotaging, but they're definitely not planning well. They're not planning well, and it just makes no sense at all. It just doesn't. It just
because
it
honestly,
really doesn't.
I tuned into the game for a little while, but then I kept getting text messages from Pop about the baseball game, and I'm like, okay, I just got to watch the baseball game. This is the wild card. This is one and done right here. And, you know, this is a series, and maybe I'll catch it. But you're going to do it on Sunday? I don't know.
I will say this,
wow.
too, man. I think here's something I think the NBA should pick up from the NBA, from baseball, man. I like that one and done. Because, I was saying it several times to my son this past week, man, I'm tired of seeing teams barely making the playoff in the NBA and going to a seven-game series. It makes no sense to have Brooklyn Nets, when you know they have a chance of beating the 76ers, playing for seven games, best of seven. Make that a one-and-done or a best of three and get them out of there. Man, it'll make it much more exciting, much more appealing to watch.
They used to have it, but I guess the money ruled it out.
Absolutely.
And all the series go seven. Yeah. All right, bro. Catch you later. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk some NCAA football and some of the games last week. And there's been some changes in the standings right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
I got love for the game, that's why I rhyme and always stay in the booth. Never lying to the people, always telling the truth. I feel the bass in my chest and give power to songs. Girl ripping when I'm home, about the hours I'm gone. I can't help it, the studio with Paul B. at. Tried to walk away from it, but it caught me back. Forgive my pride, ish, I even quit my job. For the one that I love to work, music. Recognized I'm an artist and spilling my game. Put my heart on the track and have you feeling my pain. Seen a lot of hard times on the way to success. When I'm mad, right. The rhyme is my way to express. Lay back and fall deep in the verse. If I was out in the street, yeah, I'd probably lay sleeping in the hearse. It's nothing like when you on the mic tearing the track. Then you come from out the booth and start handing back. Everybody there loves the sound.
Welcome to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show podcast. This is Overtime. We're going to talk some NCAA football. And there was some great games. Black, I know you're still there. So maybe you want to talk about some football. Is that why you're still there? Oh, you might not be there. Ice, let's go to you, man. What was your eye test on NCAA football last week?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, man. A lot going on. Of course, the big game everybody would be talking about from last week is Clemson surviving North Carolina, correct? 21-20?
Yep.
So I watched that game, and of course the controversy. Some people were talking about is the fact that the elderly Mac Brown went for two to try to win the ball game. And a lot of people said that he shouldn't have done that, should have tied the game. But talking to my brother, and I had mentioned to him, because he's like, that Mac Brown, that's some biscuit eater and all that. I said, look, he shouldn't have done that. I was like, well, first of all, I think the reason why he did it is because he didn't believe in his offense to be able to compete with Clemson in overnight. Even though the defense played well, I don't think he believed that this offense could compete. So he wanted to put it all on one play. The other part I think that the issue was for me is not the fact that he made the call. It's the play that he called. He called an option. With a
yeah, option.
Right?
Yeah.
When clearly we should have Pitts should have faked the option right and then ran left. They had a better opportunity. But just the call itself was just really bizarre to me. So I'm not mad on the fact that he called it, but it was one thing there. Michigan State survives Indiana. Interesting there. I thought I was surprised the fact that Wisconsin struggled had to survive Northwestern 24-15. That surprised me a lot. I did not know that that was going to happen like that. And I will leave a few other things for you, my brother. We can always talk about some other things. I don't want to take all of the light. So there you go.
Okay. Yeah, I want to stick with that North Carolina-Clemson game. I thought that it was just due for Clemson to have a game like that and then fall down in the rankings. And so, Clemson, you have yourself to blame for this, but I keep telling people this is not the same Clemson team that keeps going to the playoffs every year. They have to find out who they are defensively and offensively. They have a lot of weapons, but they're not the same team. And so I think a game like this, I think Dabo is like really kind of, you know, rubbing his brow or, you know, just rubbing the sweat off his brow and saying, okay, now we can go to work and tell these guys, listen, the championship is not yours. You were last year's champion. You got to play to get this year's championship. And North Carolina gave you everything you wanted. I agree with going for it for two with Mac Brown. I didn't like the play call. And the reason why Mac Brown, I think, and he said this during the interview, Ice, is that, you know, his team expended a lot of energy, you know, keeping up with Clemson. And you want to go another, you know, a few overtimes and putting them out there like that, you don't know whether or not you can hold them. So while you have them, while you have them on the ropes, while you're going down the score, I had no problem with him going for two. And it showed Clemson that, you know, we can play with you. So next year, you know, I if they schedule North Carolina next year, I want to watch this because those guys who are going to be back next year to play Clemson, they have something that they can rest their hat on and say, you know what, we came this close to beating Clemson, and maybe this is a catalyst for them kind of really putting a fire under that school and becoming a great contender in the ACC. Because I always felt that Carolina had talent there, but they pull so many bonehead moves, like the players getting suspended or expelled from school. I mean, there's all the talent in the world, then their best players mess it up. And so hopefully this will be an incentive for them to say, you know what, we came this close to being the number one team in the country. We're a pretty good football team. And so hopefully that will be a catalyst for them to kind of make some moves in the ACC. You had folks who were pretty much people who are teams that were supposed to win. I think one, Alabama, won easily. Now they're number one. Georgia didn't play, so they'll play next week. Ohio State, oh, my goodness. I was sitting here on a phone call with my buddy, and I'm like, man, you got to watch this quarterback from Ohio State. He's a Michigan guy, but I made him watch the quarterback from Ohio State, and he said, yeah, I got to admit, he is sweet. So, yeah. Arizona State is really kind of impressing me on how Sherm Edwards has that team playing. Their quarterback, Daniels, is a smooth operator, man. He's a very, very smooth operator. And one of my guys who used to be a former student of mine is a great, great Arizona State fan. And he was like, yeah, man, this guy, you got to watch him. But they pulled out a victory, and now they're ranked in the top 25 at number 20 with a 4-1 record. And I like watching Herm work with these young men. And I like his team has taken his personality. And I really like to watch that. Virginia was hanging in there a little bit with Notre Dame and then dropped it towards the end. Michigan bounced back and beating Rutgers. They really needed that game. And I don't want to take too much stuff. But Wisconsin, they struggled a little bit, and I was surprised the way they handled Michigan the previous week. Maybe they were partying a little bit too much. But I want to go back to comments from you, and then what games should we be looking for or you're going to be watching next week?
Yeah, we have a bunch of games out here. One of the games I really want to see is on Friday night is Central Florida versus Cincinnati. Friday night in Cincinnati. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Both teams are really looking for to move up. So that should be wonderful to see who wants it the most. We also have Iowa visiting Michigan. Big game there. Who's going to be – we'll find out who the contender is and who the pretender is very quickly. Another obscure game I want to see is Texas versus West Virginia. Texas came out strong early on, and they need to show whether or not they're worthy of a consideration of a major bowl game. And what better way than to be tested by West Virginia? Another, Northwestern versus Nebraska. Nebraska came off a shell-shocking loss to Ohio State, and Northwestern just lost to Wisconsin. So somebody's going to try to find out to receive one up on the other with a win. Also, Arizona versus Colorado. Some bragging rights out west a little bit. And last but not least for me, California versus Oregon. California's been slipping by, slipping by for the whole season. Now we'll see if they're the real deal when they get a legitimate test versus Oregon.
Yeah. I know the game in the SEC, the big game with Alabama and Texas A&M. Texas A&M, this is your season right here. You are 3-2. If Alabama beat you and beat you bad, you are out of the top 25, and your season is pretty much done, especially as far as getting a high ranking. And so this is your season right here. So I want to peek in that game. Of course, I want to take a peek at Clemson, Florida State for a quarter or two to see if Florida State can even hang with Clemson. I want to see Georgia. I want to see Georgia, and can they really kind of turn it on against Tennessee? Ohio State and Michigan State usually is a good game to watch. Also want to see LSU and Utah State to see if they do well. I want to see also Oklahoma and Kansas. I want to see my boy and what Kansas has to offer. I know it's a rebuilding season for Kansas, but you know the coach over there. I love him. And so hopefully they'll have a good showing against Oklahoma. A quarter or two, see what he has. But the big game I think is going in the SEC also, other than the Alabama-Texas A&M game, is the Auburn-Florida game. Auburn is undefeated, and they're trying to make a bid to be the champion of one of those divisions in the SEC. And Florida is always trying to make a big statement. Let's see if they can make a big statement against Auburn and giving them their first loss. Florida is undefeated also. Auburn is undefeated. They're both 5-0. Somebody's old got to go. So that should be a tough game to watch. Penn State and Purdue, let's see how that goes. Iowa and Michigan. Iowa seems sometimes during the season sneaks up on some of the contenders. I wouldn't consider Michigan a contender anymore, but let's see if Iowa can make hay and make some noise against Michigan. And if they do beat Michigan, those cries for Harbaugh being fired is going to get louder and louder. The other game that I'm going to watch also is Utah versus Oregon State. That should be a good game. And I'm always up and always late on Saturday night watching Arizona State. If you haven't watched Arizona State and their freshman quarterback Daniels, he is must-see TV. He is the real deal. He looks like a string bean. He's really skinny. But he just is like I said, I call him a smooth operator. He can run, he can pass, and he must be something special if Herm Edwards has him starting as a freshman quarterback. I don't think there's any other games. Anything else you want to say about college football at this particular point, Isaac?
Yeah, it's getting interesting now because a lot of things are changing. Ohio, I noticed I didn't say anything about Ohio State, but I will just say this, that they're focused. They have a game against Michigan State. We'll see how that plays out. But the question is here whether or not they can stay on the path. And as they continue to match up with better teams, will they still be able to be as dominant as they have been throughout the year? So you have to keep a watch out on LSU also to because they didn't play last week, so people kind of forgot about them. But the fact that Clemson kind of looked somewhat ordinary makes people think about the teams that could possibly be preparing for the postseason and trying to get one of the four slots. So this is a great time. We're starting October because everything counted before, but it really counts now for those that are truly trying to advance to the Final Four.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the Big Ten right now, man. The undefeated teams in their conference, you got Ohio State is undefeated in a conference in the East. Michigan State is undefeated. Penn State is undefeated in the East. And in the West, you have Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. They're all undefeated in the Western Division the Big Ten. And so it should really, really be interesting to see how it kind of plays out towards the middle of the season and who's jockeying for that position and trying to get into the playoffs. I know that one of the things that's really impressing me is Jalen Hurts, and I saw it on Instagram right after the win. This guy is not satisfied. He's back in the gym after the game, right after the game, working out, trying to get ready for the next opponent. I don't know if you've seen that or have heard some of his interviews, but like I said in weeks prior, this guy really knows what it takes to win national championships, and it seems like he's trying to be the example for his team and teammates and that school on what it takes to do that. And I don't know if you ever played football, but to go out and play a football game, then to go back into the weight room and start working out, that brother's in shape, Ice. That brother's in shape, and he won it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's part of it. It's like doing your own tour days where nobody has to tell you to go back out to the gym, and he's really excited. I think he really is probably driven from the standpoint of he wants to be one of the last teams standing, and he wants to outlast Alabama. He'll never say that because that's neither he's too classy for it. But we also know that this guy is training not only for the next level, he's trying to prove that he's capable, but he's also trying to say, Alabama, y'all made a mistake. I'm not mad at you, but, y'all made a mistake. So it's and I think that's why you see him striving and doing those extra things, because he wants to be there at the end if at all possible.
Yeah, and he's competing against Tua. He probably will never say it, but he knows that Tua's up for Heisman as well as a few others, and he wants that Heisman. He wants to be that third quarterback in a row to get that Heisman. And the way he's playing, man, it's a race between him and Tua. And so I appreciate seeing that, because you don't see that too often. Usually after you win the game, you're out partying and, you know, doing all kind of stuff. It's Saturday night. And so that's for later when I get to the other level. I want that championship. And they're ranked number 6. So if LSU or Ohio State or Georgia slips up, I could see Oklahoma just slipping into that 4th spot and saying, you know, we belong here. And this guy knows the way. He knows the way. He's been there twice in his career. So he knows how to do this, or 2 or 3 times in his career. And so he knows how to do this. He knows what it takes. He's been coached by one of the best college coaches with Saban, and he's driving himself. You know, hopefully he doesn't get hurt or something like that. Let's go to there's some sad news today that we didn't talk about in our first 40, but I want to take some time to talk about it now. Bill Bidwell, the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, passed away, and he had a big impact, especially of people of color, with hiring Dennis Green as the first black coach, hiring other in his organization. But I want you to share some words about Bidwell, his stint as an owner. And he used to, what I understand is that he used to be the ball boy with the Cardinals. And then all of a sudden, you know, eighty years later, you know, he's still associated with this organization as the owner. He's been a part of it all his life.
No doubt. You think about that, too. So he's been with the Cardinals for a long time. A lot of people are not familiar, not knowing that the Cardinals were in St. Louis for quite some time. So you think about it, he was a sole owner from 1972 until 2019 when he passed away recently. If people don't understand, the St. Louis Cardinals used to have a quarterback by the name of Jim Hart, and then they had a dangerous tailback or running back named Terry Metcalf. He was amazing because he would run up the middle, and the reason why I know this is because I was still a Cowboy fan vigorously back then. He would run this play straight up the middle and run for about 75 yards, and they could never stop it. Straight up the middle. He never run to the left or to the right. Straight up the middle, and he would just run for a touchdown. But that franchise was always a class act, the way that they ran it. They didn't have perhaps maybe some of the best success that some people may think. But one thing I will say about that family, they hung in there. They hung in there and they stayed with them, and they moved forward and they just tried to get it done. They had a little later on, as we know, in the 80s, 90s, in the 90s, they had a nice run of success, but they held on to that team for a long time. You think about back in the day when they purchased the team, and they were known as the Chicago Cardinals first, and they moved to St. Louis.
Yeah.
So that team has a long history along with that family, and may he rest in peace, because he's one of their true originals that kept things going and allowed this league to continue to develop to the strides that it has today. So rest in peace, Mr. Bidwell.
Peaceful journey. I want to go back to boxing, and before we go to the questions for this week. And there are a number of guys, they list about four guys that are going to be guys that Spence has to look at in order to keep this thing going. I think he can keep it going. What he really kind of impressed me with, and if you you missed the first 40, we talk about Errol Spence and Sean Porter's fight. We're going to talk a little bit about it again. We talked last week about Manny Pacquiao. I'm not sure Manny Pacquiao should fight Errol Spence, because what Spence showed me Saturday night is that not only can he box, he can bang. And so he's the best of both worlds. If whatever you want, he got it. And so he showed Sean Porter he could bang with one of the best. He's like the prototype, a modern-day Joe Frazier. They're talking about Manny Pacquiao. Danny Garcia, I know he talked Saturday night like, hey, man, it's about timing. Let's get it on. I don't think Danny Garcia wants this fight. Maybe Sean Porter, too. And then they're talking about Julian Williams. Which fight makes the most sense right now for Errol Spence if you were in his camp?
Oh, wow. Moving up too quick to Julian Williams maybe a bit fast. There's too many other things going on. Of course, he would love the Manny Pacquiao fight simply because of the factor of the money and the lineage that he's going to the lineage of the fight. Also, the recognition, and he can make the most money. The other two fights you mentioned, who are you mentioning? You mentioned two other fights.
Danny Garcia and then Sean Porter, too.
Sean Porter, too, not now. And I think Errol's like, okay, that was a war. You need to go play with somebody else. And I don't blame him on that. He's not going right back. Because that was a tough fight. And he showed who he was. And Sean Porter showed who he was. Now it's time to go after some other people. And in fact, Porter's dad said, you go find somebody else. And we'll find some, we'll catch up. And he knows that's how it usually runs. But I think the next fight, just because, silence Danny Garcia. Because he swears that now, the biggest thing I found out of that fight, listening to him kind of commentate as well, is it's almost as if they saw a chink in the armor of Spence. I'm like, why wouldn't you give Porter more credit, the fact that he fought a hell of a fight and challenged him? Now everybody's thinking, along with Thurman, yeah, I see a chink in the armor. I think we can get him now. Really? No. So Danny Garcia, we know if you start off slow, you're done. You're done.
Yeah.
So I find that ironic. It was a lot of hate going on with Errol Spence because he won a very difficult fight. One thing I will say, though, that I find ironic that we're hearing now is that reporters has said in this camp is saying they want Terrence Crawford next. I would love to see that.
Ooh. Is he sure he want that?
Yeah.
Is he sure he want
not?
That? Oh, my God.
Why? Come on now. Has Crawford been tested?
I mean, I can't see Sean Porter winning against Terrence Crawford. That's why I said, does the Porter camp really want that? Terrence
but
Crawford
we said
is,
the same thing about
nasty.
Spence, though, right? He is. We said about Spence, though, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that Spence kind of – I can see that. But I just think Spence did Porter a solid by fighting his fight. And and it was almost like Spence was trying to prove to Porter and prove to some of the naysayers that don't really like Spence and won't put him higher in the pound, top 10 pound for pound that, oh, can he take a punch? Can he bang? He's just a boxer, this, that, the other. And this guy just stood in there and just went toe-to-toe with one of the best kind of brawlers. I call Porter a brawler in the game because nobody wants to – before this, I've never seen anybody who want to sit there and brawl with Porter, not even Thurman. He was running away from him. He was trying to get him. I haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a fighter just take it to Porter the way that Errol Spence – he was the aggressor. And I don't know if Porter was really planning on that to happen, but you kind of saw that – Spence was just walking forward like, hey, let's do this. If you want to do this, let's do this, instead of just hanging back and boxing, which I thought Porter thought that Spence was going to do, kind of hang back and just box him and counterpunch him and all that stuff. And I think it showed me another side that this kid is, this kid is the truth, man. He's the truth, and he's showing you that however you want it, I'll bring it, and because I want to be the best and I want to fight the best. And he's not backing down from anybody. So if Garcia and Thurman, I think it's all kind of in front of the TV saying, oh, maybe we see a chink in the armor. I don't think they want this guy. I really don't think they want this guy because this guy, to me, showed a different side that they didn't think he was capable of, and now they handle one of the best brawlers out there. Do you really want that? Do you really want that?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you 100%, which I find ironic, them talking that way. And then for Danny Garcia to jump into the ring, like, yeah, I want you next. And then Spence, the way he reacted was hilarious. He says, I've been calling you out for how long? And he said, oh, how the tables have turned.
Yeah.
And he was so smooth with it, like, now you want to fight me, huh?
Nah,
you think I lied?
Okay.
I had this chink in my armor. Now you want to fight me because we know what Porter did to you. So now you want to fight me. Yeah, I think that he's going to perhaps think about Danny Garcia just to kind of prove a point that he wasn't ready. And not only is Spence going to be ready, not only was he better and able to fight Porter's fight, but he's going to show him how much of a class act he is and what level of classiness he is in boxing. And I think that's going to throw Danny Garcia for a loop. But I would love to see Porter versus Crawford. And I think it's a fight Crawford has to take. He has to because they're running out of options. And you say what you want to. You got Bob Arum. That's his only true prize catch. And who else are you going to keep fighting? You can't keep running away from people. So now if somebody wants to cross the pond, across the bridge, and fight you, then Sean Porter would be a great matchup. I mean, I know Crawford is talented. We talked about his skill set. But my question is, how will he handle that bulldozer coming at him that way?
The other thing is, didn't we hear talk of Manny Pacquiao fighting Crawford? And what happened with that?
Pacquiao has no interest in fighting Crawford. He is not going to be a sacrificial lamb. And that's what they want. Hmm. And I'll say this, and I was talking to somebody else about this too, that why no one wants to see Manny Pacquiao get pummeled and then forced into retirement, get beat senseless. His camp sure doesn't want to watch that. So they would rather fight a Danny Garcia or a Mikey Garcia. If you fight, if he fights Crawford or Spence, it's going to be ugly. The question is, at 40 years old, what does he have that performance that he had in him anymore, any more performances like that at 40, the way that he defeated Thurman? I don't think so. I don't think so. So
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I don't see that. I think he had his one moment in the sun. And if you keep going to the well too long, you know what happens. You're going to come out dry.
Yeah.
Especially against the talented guys. I mean, there's no way he can keep up because he's going to get tired. And that's when he's going to get punished in the end, particularly with Crawford or Spence, if they fight their normal fights. I would not want to see that. I would hope that he would retire first because I think it could be ugly.
Yeah, I get a sense that Keith Thurman doesn't want to fight anymore. I don't think he has it in him anymore to be the fighter that we thought he was, or what I thought he was, because I'm not going to say we. I thought he was before he fought Sean Porter. It's like something was taken away from him, that dog in him, that maybe he never had it. Maybe it was the opponent he had. But it just seems to me, watching the telecast and watching how he describes and how he talks about fighters, and I don't think he has it in him anymore. I don't think he wants Errol Spence anymore. I don't think he wants Sean Porter, any of these fighters. Maybe he's just looking for a payday or certain paydays from lesser caliber fighters so he can get out of there. Your thoughts on Keith Thurman? Does he really want it?
Well, his life has changed. He's in love. He's married. And he's been out for quite some time trying to come back. I'm not sure if he wants it. It's easy to sit back when you're injured. And I really thought he believed that Manny Pacquiao would be a lot easier to defeat than the fight he was faced with. And when Pacquiao caught him early and dropped him and had him playing catch-up, I think it shocked him, it puzzled him, and it frustrated him. And the one thing he did do, he showed class at the end by giving all kudos to Pacquiao for winning the fight. And so I give him that. Because he was a man's man, he recognized it, and he got beat. But I think you're right. I'm not sure if he's ready to keep going on. He sounds good. But I don't think he wants nothing to do with Errol Spence. Nothing. He would fight Porter again, because I think he believes he can beat Porter. And he'd easily fight Danny Garcia. I don't think he would even entertain Danny Garcia, because that was too easy. And notice he has never said his name Crawford.
No. None of them did. None of them mentioned Terrence Crawford.
Errol Spence was
they mentioned everybody but
Errol Spence to fight Crawford.
Yeah.
He told me.
Yeah.
Just not the right time. Not enough money on the table
wow.
for that fight.
All right, let's switch gears to the heavyweights real quick. King Kong versus Deontay Wilder, man. Do you expect a different result at this fight?
I think it's going to be easier for Wilder.
Really?
And I tell you why. Yeah, and I tell you why. I think that he knew how Ortiz was coming at him. Now he has the opportunity to see how Ortiz is coming at him. And Ortiz is coming for blood. We know that. But I don't think that Wilder is going to get caught up in that, I'm going to try to knock him out and slug with him. He's going to box him a little bit, try to time him, and take him down. And I think that the reason why he took the fight so quickly in a rematch is because I believe he sees something. I said the same thing. I think when he fights Fury, he sees something differently. He's like, I fought that whole fight wrong. Second time around, I'm going to be about the business. And I think that's the thing people don't understand. Ortiz is who he is. We know that, right? He's coming out one way.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get cute. He's not going to do anything. He's more of a one-trick pony. But Wilder will make some concessions and make some changes in the style and realize that it cannot be over in one punch. But I think there's going to be some little nuances that you're going to see from him that he's going to change up in order to win that fight. And I don't think it's going to be as tough as people think. I mean, there's always a chance. Don't get me wrong. But I think he's going to come in and try to be the smarter fighter, to try to outwork him and be smarter to try to win that way.
I want to see this because I for one, said after that Tyson Fury fight that I didn't think that Wilder was much of a boxer. He's a knockout artist. But if he could develop some boxing skills, maybe he'll be dangerous. But I can't see him being any different than he was in the first fight, just trying to go off for the knockout, trying to impress for, because he had that fight with the guy Belize, right? He was the same dude. He was the same dude, got him out of there quickly, and that's what I think he feels that he needs to do. He's saying, I know I was reading the reports, and he's saying, hey, I really knocked out Tyson Fury, but the referee was counting too slow. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I lied. I think that it was legit. I think that he wanted to be that way. I think he was really frustrated because he could not get to Fury early on, and he was doing too much of the knockout syndrome. He does have the ability to box and kind of wait on his time and then catch you with some good shots, then drop you. But he clearly, from the beginning, was going after Fury. And then the fact that he finally caught him when he knew the fight was on the line and he might lose, I think that just frustrated me even more. But Tyson Fury is a calculated individual. He knows what he does in the ring, and that's really why nobody wants to fight him. So I think he's going to give – Wilder will fight him differently as well, too. Not all about the knockout. He's going to punish him, cut him up, bust his face up a little bit, and then wear him down, and then eventually put him to sleep. That's what he's going to do this time. Or try to anyway. Again.
I'm looking forward to watching Luis Ortiz go up against Wilder again. I'm hoping to kind of spice things up a little bit, just like when we saw Ruiz beat Joshua. I'm hoping there's some shakeup. I'm really hoping with some shakeup because, quite honestly, I'm tired of seeing Wilder talk about how great he is when he really, to me, lost that fight against Fury. He you know, without that knockdown, it wouldn't have been a draw. It wouldn't have been a draw at all. So I'm looking for some shakeup in the heavyweight division. Maybe there will be.
Ooh,
and
hey,
I'm looking,
hey,
for,
you,
I'm looking
work,
forward to.
You work for ESPN?
No, I don't. You know, no, I don't. They don't want me. They'll probably ban me too.
No. You're good. Because you will probably be along with them not putting Wilder in the top 10 right now, pound for pound. Even though he's a heavyweight champion.
I wouldn't put him in the top 10 pound for pound.
Oh,
I wouldn't.
Lord,
I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Name me 10 fighters.
Let me come back next week and do that. Hold me to that.
Yeah, I would not put Wilder
as a top 10 pound for pound.
Oh, man, that's some straight hate. You do me a favor. You go and research it. Take your time. And you come up with 10 fighters better than this man right now. 10 fighters.
So
today,
my thing is, I'm mad at that list because they won't put Errol Spence. They don't give respect to Errol Spence, as far as I'm concerned. And Canelo is too high. To me, Canelo.
And then Triple G was in there.
Yeah, Triple G was in there. He lost. Hey, if you beat Canelo twice and don't get credit for it, you got to get something.
and you got guys.
You got
to really. Oh, you number 15, but you have guys in there that have like 12 fights. Nobody's ever heard of them.
Yeah.
You can't do Wilder like that, man. He's the only person that will fight Ortiz. He can't get no love for that. He's fighting me twice. It's like telling John Jones in UFC he's not good enough.
So with that being said, the performance he had against Fury. I would say that people, if you put Wilder in, you have people arguing to put Fury in. Because he actually did not beat Fury.
Okay, I get that.
That's my opinion.
That's fine. I can see your opinion. But my issue with that is, what about his other fights? What about all the other fights?
He did not meet the linear champion. He did not beat him.
I get
so how can he be
he has fought.
In the top 10?
Here's my problem with that. Anthony Joshua was always in the top 10. Who did he fight? Besides Klitschko. He was unproven. I said that from the beginning. He hasn't fought anybody.
Right.
But they fell in love with him. And two, as you mentioned, that Wilder he wasn't impressive in one fight. Joshua's been pumping around for the longest time. He beat an aging fighter here. He beat a guy that came out of shape. He beat another guy that really wasn't even on his level. Deontay Wilder's fought all comers. Anybody that wanted can get it, like Floyd said. And the only guy that would face Ortiz. No, Joshua sure the hell didn't want to see Ortiz. And then when Joshua got knocked out, everybody's like, ooh. I'm like, wow. Now, where is he at? Put him back in the top 10. I'm just saying. I mean, I think they choose favorites, and I'm not mad at them. They had the right to do that. I'm just saying, why do you penalize, why is Wilder penalized so much for one potential loss, or loss, if you say, when he's done so many other great things otherwise? I don't get that.
I'm not going to take that from him. But if you put Wilder in, you got to put Fury in. And I can't see them both being in the top 10. Because he didn't beat the guy. He did not beat Fury.
Tell me why Fury beat the champion. Because he beat
Klitschko.
Okay. All right. Okay. And this is nasty. I want him to fight again. And after he destroys Fury, will you then say that Wilder dissolves belongs? After he beats Ortiz and he legitimately beats Fury, will he get his place in the top 10 from you then?
Okay, I'll give him top 10. I'll put him at 9 or 8 or somewhere like that. Because he got to show me some boxing skills. Now, if he just knocked these dudes out and show me some boxing skills, yeah, I'll put him. Pound for pound means you got the ability and you got you got what it takes to be, like, pound for pound, the best boxer. So if you were matched up against these other boxers and you were still, like, you know, the same weight class, could you beat some of these other boxers in the top 10? And if you just got knockout power, I don't know. Because Fury just told you, you're loading up on the right, I'm not going to let you hit me with the right. And that was basically Fury's game plan.
I'm going to ask you this question. Did you ever say the same thing about Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson? No.
Same dude.
But Mike Tyson has skills.
What kind of skills?
Mike Tyson had skills.
Mike Tyson
had defensive skills, uppercuts. He had head movement. You know, he had
slide
skills.
Slide left, slide right, roll left, roll right.
He had the combinations. Upside, he had the hooks.
You going to tell me, Puma, you going to tell me Mike Tyson was a boxer.
Mike Tyson was a brawler, and he could box. He had skills. Until he ran into Buster Douglas.
and then
Holyfield, and then Lennox Lewis. He ran up against better boxers.
But we're right. So basically, and I tell these people this all the time, when Mike Tyson was defeated by Buster Douglas, who was a boxer, he never won a meaningful fight after that because Buster Douglas provided the blueprint to beat Mike Tyson.
Yep.
No longer was anybody scared. Nobody talks about that. Mike Tyson was great for his time, but he was a one-trick pony, in my opinion. One-trick pony. He's scared to death, or he knocked the hell out of you.
And then you had to look at you have to consider who was handling Mike Tyson at the time. They weren't pushing him. They didn't know how to train him. You know, you had Customato and his folks, and then you had a change of the guard. And these guys, you know, Mike wasn't listening to anybody. Mike was just going up there saying, I'm going to knock anybody out. Didn't even train really hard. But, you know, you got to have folks in your corner that's going to push you and not let you just rest upon that you're the knockout king and you're the heavyweight champion, so we don't really need to tell you anything. You just go out there and do what you do. And that's what it seemed like. When I saw that 30 for 30, when they had that glove trying to ice down his eye, you knew it was over. They didn't know what they were doing.
Oh, my God.
They didn't anticipate that.
I said, look, I have never been in a pro box, and I've been in Las Vegas in no one's corner, not even amateur. But even I know, when a guy has a cut, the first damn thing, you make sure you had that little silver bar. And for those who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, if you watch boxing, it's called InSwell. That reduces the swelling. It also allows you to put the little Vic salve on there, almost like the salve on there, to make it better. It basically pushes the blood flow or the swelling out to allow the person to continue on. I know that. When they took a bag of ice, I was like, y'all need to be Y'all need to go straight to boxing hell for that. That was a travel
yeah.
on that TV. Everybody is like, man, where the hell's the Israel?
Yeah. You knew it was
all
over.
All that money.
You knew it was
oh
over.
Oh, my God.
Yep. You knew it was over. They had no business in that corner. No business. So when it changed hands, he became, I mean, he got exposed. You know, Cuss would never let him do some of the stuff that he was doing and lose. He was training one of the best boxers of all time. And so when you just go in there thinking, I'm just going to knock this guy out, this guy's a bum, then you're not going to train, you're not going to take the guy seriously. Let me get one question for you, and then we get out of here.
No doubt. You gonna ask me one, or I'm gonna ask you one? Which one we doing?
You ask me one. I've been asking all the questions. Okay. So.
Oh, no problem. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited about this upcoming NBA season. Do you think I'm hearing a lot about the Portland Trail Blazers? Do you think they have a legitimate chance to at least make it to the conference semifinals in the West?
I don't know about the finals, but they got to get everybody healthy. The big man went down last year, and so if they don't have everybody healthy, I'm not sure if they have enough to do it. They did a great job last year getting over the hump and going as far as they went last year, and I was really rooting for them. To me, everybody's sleeping on Golden State. Everybody, and they're just making moves behind the scenes. And nobody's paying attention to them. They're giving everything to the Clippers. They haven't played one game yet. They're going to the Lakers. They're giving kudos to even Brooklyn. And I looked at their roster the other day, and I'm like, where are they going? Where are they going? They have nothing. They have nothing. And so, you know, everybody's sleeping on Golden State, thinking that they're not going to be the team. And they're not playing with, to me, I was watching a report yesterday, they're not playing with all being that tense as they were in the last few years, having Kevin Durant trying to show out in front of Oracle before they left. It's like they're like, okay, nobody's really paying attention to us. We can go back and have fun again. They still have the nucleus of that team. They won championships before Kevin Durant. And I got to think, and Black is going, I hope Black doesn't ever hear this. Steve Kerr has something, you know, stewing on the stove ready for when they start playing those teams this year and coming up with better defensive schemes, better offensive schemes, and then sliding in D'Angelo Russell. He's already talking about we got to make it comfortable for him to slide into our system. So I want to root for Portland. I really do think that they're going to be a good team, but they got to be healthy, and they got to get another piece to help them over that hump because with Lillard and my boy, I can't think of his name right now, the 1-2 guard, you always question with Portland, is that enough? They're really great. They're one of the best tandems in the league, but is that enough to get over the edge and get to the Western Conference final? Then you got Houston over there. So they're going to have a little bit to say about that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Portland has a ways to go. We need to see how they're going to work because now they have some older cats coming in. They did make the trade for Whiteside from Miami, so he'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add him on with the center that was hurt. And then they even signed, I noticed he's ancient, but they signed Paul Gasol. So Paul Gasol
yeah.
is out there. So, and of course, you know, my buddy,
it's not a bad pickup.
No, it's not. No, that's what I'm saying. And then the young man from North Carolina, you know, that who I like a lot. I think it was his name, not the guard, but
Nasir.
Yeah, Nasir. Yeah. Nasir Little. Yeah. So I like that. But overall, I think there's a lot going on in the league. I like what. I like Sacramento. I think they're coming along. They may not win it all or do anything like that soon, but I think they're putting together a nice team, particularly picking up Trevor Ariza. I think that was major. Houston, we'll see. Got that 1-2 punch there. I do like Golden State. I think people are sleeping on D'Angelo Russell. I said it from the beginning.
Yeah.
I watched him in college. I watched him a little bit in high school. I know that's a different level, but he can play. And I think when you put him on a team that's on winners, and he also has the ability to be a playmaker, you're going to see, if he keeps his nose clean and just keeps his head down and listen, you're going to see a guy that I think is going to evolve into one hell of a player because he has extraordinary skills. He can score the ball, he can pass, and he plays defense when he has to. And to have an extraordinary young player under the tutelage of somebody like Steve Kerr, I think it's going to be where he doesn't have to carry the load. I think I'm expecting great things from them. And you know how Steve Kerr goes. They brought a couple of shooters in, some other young big cats, and the nucleus still runs through Steph Curry and Draymond Green. So they're going to find a way. They're going to teach them the Golden State way. So I'm excited about that. But you got to love the Clippers. The Clippers are, the fact that they play defense, and you tell me you still have Lou Williams coming off the bench, man, that oof. I might have to buy me some Clipper gear.
Real quick, we got four minutes left. I'm going to stay with the NBA. What do you think about Houston's coach saying that he's going to stagger the time that he plays Westbrook and James Harden?
When he says stagger, does that mean
they're not on the court? They're not on the court at the same time.
I think it depends. I mean, you can stagger, but you want them to be more of a 1-2 punch. But I think when they play certain teams, they have to be out there together. I think they do. Other times, you can just kind of stagger because you're going to have one guy being the focal point, the other one being the focal point when the other one's sitting down. But when they play bigger teams, then they're going to have no choice but to do that. So it's perhaps you could do that. I can see that, but not when you play against better competition.
Yeah, I wasn't in love with this acquisition in the get-go, and the more and more I hear them talk about it, the more and more I think this is a disaster waiting to happen. You thought that Chris Paul was a problem. This is going to be a problem. Both of these guys want to score and get triple-doubles. Both of them want the ball unless it's the playoffs. Westbrook wants the ball, and Harden don't want no parts of the ball when it's the playoffs. But during the season, they both want the ball. They're both ball hogs. So I know they played together before, but Harden was coming off the bench before, and he didn't play sometimes a lot of minutes with Westbrook sometimes. But this is going to be real interesting to see how they mesh. And when things go bad, how they're going to react when the press starts, pushing that button saying, hey, this looks like it's not working out. That's what I want to see. And I don't think they got the right coach to coach them to help bring out the best in them so they can move that team forward. So I'm still not afraid of Houston. I got to see this to see if it works. All right. Do you have a last-second shot? Because I don't have a last-second shot. If you don't have a last-second shot, we could just kind of end the show, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, I do have a last-second shot. I think it's a while back, a few weeks ago, you mentioned something about a young man that been baseball that was allegedly trying to connect with a young girl, and you asked me before what I knew about it. I want to apologize to the people because once I did some research on that and found out that he literally was contacting this young lady and trying to make moves on her and literally admitted that he was doing this and it was known. I didn't poo-poo it, but I didn't have a lot to say about it because I said that needed to be proven. But it appears like it's coming closer to being proven. And if that is the case, then baseball needs to throw him out. And I know other people are probably doing the same thing, but I want to apologize to the people for the information. But just to say that I don't think anybody's bigger than the game. And when somebody takes advantage of a situation, particularly when it comes to children, it's just really a travesty. And I don't care how many home runs you can hit or how many doubles you can get or how many golden gloves you can get. If you're out there tracking young teenage girls to try to connect with them in a physical nature, it's just nasty. And at some point, sports has to be better than that as a business and say, you know what, we're done with this crap and that's it. So, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, it's just a travesty, and I hope they get it right. Turn that around.
All right. Yeah, I agree. That's going to do it for our show. Catch the first 40 on YouTube. catch this on our Facebook, our Blog Talk podcast right here on Facebook and on Twitter. We will see you next week.